Jim Grove is Senior Advisor in the Prize and Small Business Innovation Office at the Science and Technology Directorate at the Department of Homeland Security. DHS, S&T launching a prize competition for tracking first responders when they're inside. Jim, congratulations on this, on putting this competition out there. How will this competition work, and what is the end result that you want to get out of it? Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you. This competition is being conducted under the America Competes Act, and it is launched on a Innocentive's website, which is a contractor for us, and they have an outreach to quite a large population of non-traditional problem solvers. So we put out requirements for this competition along with judging criteria, and then we wait for those submissions and go through a judging process based on the criteria established in the Federal Register notice. And as far as the end result, our really end goal here is to find solutions to problems and gaps by attracting a very diverse talent and a range of potential problem solvers. In many cases, the responses we get are really unexpected, and we try to steer this effort in a direction that some of our experts who are closest to that project might not necessarily go, but where the solution nonetheless lies. So that's the advantage of these non-traditional problem solvers.
It sounds like the concept of whenever I write something, I look at it three times and I let somebody else look at it because they see it completely differently than I do, and pick out things that I wouldn't have picked out. That sounds like that's kind of the idea behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it brings together, again, these non-traditional problem solvers that would not necessarily participate in government contracts. So we don't always get to see those solutions. And there's a lot of smart people that, again, you know, not close to the problem, but are able to, you know, look at it in a different light and say, you know, if you tried this, maybe this would work. And there's been agencies such as NASA that was looking at testing some stress against some different materials, and they were able to get a solution that their scientists couldn't figure out, but somebody said if you did X, Y, and Z, and sure enough, it worked.
And my notes say, the indoor tracking of the Next Generation First Responder Prize Competition seeks innovative ideas for solving the challenges of real-time, accurate indoor tracking of first responders during an incident. And I think where we are in 2015, the first, I guess, kind of knee-jerk reaction to that concept would be, well, somebody will create an app for that. And I guess the beauty of what you're going to do with this is that's not necessarily the answer that you wind up going with, is it?
This has been a very difficult research and development question that has plagued us for some time, and we've sought many different directions. So we're really reaching out to this non-traditional community to say, you know, what are the things that are out there that could be combined without having to set up very elaborate communication systems or special kinds of receivers and devices that is more than just an app? Because you never know the kind of environment that we're operating in. As you're well aware, sometimes you go into buildings or underground environments. You know, a phone app would outrun the normal GPS signal, could outrun you know, the cellular signal, and if there's not Wi-Fi there, you know, all kinds of other complicating things. So until we get to the buildings of the future where we have Bluetooth or other kinds of things enabled, and things like light switches and smoke detectors and those kinds of things, you know, you're not able to rely on those today. So those are future things that we can look at. But for today, and trying to get this critical need in the hands of our first responders, we need to look at what can we do that's emerging technology now, part of the Internet of Things and the wearables, and provide those in a manner that's just cost conducive and makes sense for our first responder community.
We have a link to the competition at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth so folks can learn more about it, Jim. How do you decide within the S&T to do a competition or a prize challenge instead of a traditional procurement for something?
We have matrix that compare between contracts, grants, and prizes. And obviously, a prize competition is not always the solution to everything. But what we ask our prize competition managers and those considering running a prize to do is to look at what is the achievable outcomes of their actual project, Do they have clearly defined and realistic expectations, and what is the benefit to the program and to the agency overall? And when we actually compare a contract versus a prize, there's really three things that come to mind. First is the results. Where you have a contract, you have one possible outcome, where you have many possible with a prize. In the delivery side, the government depends on the ability of the best competitor in the contract and relies on the government to formulate, you know, what is, you know, what does this contract need to deliver? Whereas on a prize side, we're formulating a broad competition statement with some achievable rules that encourage people to participate. And then on the cost side, rarely a contract is less than 100%, whereas a prize, even when we have the prize money and the cost for putting it on, is really a fraction of the cost. And then finally, the payment. Most contracts are paid at the delivery of that hardware or service, whereas a prize is only paid when we have a successful demonstration that that hardware or service actually works.
So you get all of these responses from your non-traditional competitor base, and so you have all these great ideas to plow through. Who judges them, and how do you determine what the criteria are for judging them?
Well, we're going to draw for our judges based on a diverse set of practitioners, end users, engineers, subject matter experts, and industry R&D leaders. This helps us to ensure that our submissions are evaluated properly, and can the desired outcomes really be achieved? Is there a marketing potential? And does the proposed solution, is it a standalone? Can it be part of a larger government project? And in some cases, depending on the kind of competition, we may actually call on a technology support team to assess the merits of that submission, say like an algorithm or a computer program, and then advise the judges as to you know, those best submissions and how they work or don't work against the rules.
The important thing that I hear there, and I think it makes a tremendous amount of sense, is it doesn't sound like it's just a bunch of people from DHS, S&T. No disrespect intended, but it sounds like you are trying to engage people from all across the spectrum of potential users or stakeholders in a project like this.
Yes, and I think that the term that our undersecretary uses is the Homeland Security enterprise, the ecosystem of R&D, and we want to make sure that we have this right set of practitioners, and it's not us. Again, we're the ones closest to the problem, and we don't always see, you know, what that broad answer could be. So for bringing in this diverse group of experts and end users allows us to get, A, the end user involved in the process, but also others that are not necessarily as close to the problem and involved in as well. And that helps us also to partner at the end of the day.
The material that I have from DHS says this is the first of several S&T prize competitions to be conducted in accordance with the America Competes Act, as you alluded to earlier, Jim. Are there others that are in the pipeline now or that are in process now, or is it just that you know now this is a way that you want to continue to try to leverage the expertise of people who don't traditionally deal with the government or DHS?
While this is the first, this is all part of our undersecretary's broader thinking and new ways for us to tackle the non-traditional approach and spurring creative thinking and allowing us to expand our reach and to solving some very complex problems. So this is a new authority for the S&T Directorate. In the coming weeks and months, we're going to work across the department and its leaders and assess the programs and identify mission gaps that might be suited for prize competitions. And we're going to do that through a building block approach to workshops, which will begin on March 30th. And that'll deliver for us a potential list of problem statements that are most suited to the prize competition process. And then that will allow us then to come up with a strategic plan and fit those into the broader programs of the department.